From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, he brings the next portion of a message entitled, Jesus, the Supreme Object of Faith, based on the opening verses of chapter 12. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's selection is entitled, Broad Rivers Without Galleys. The text is Isaiah 33, verse 21. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. The Lord will be to us the greatest good, without any of the drawbacks which seem necessarily to attend the best earthly things. If a city is favored with broad rivers, it is liable to be attacked by galleys with oars and other ships of war. But when the Lord represents the abundance of his bounty under this figure, he takes care expressly to shut out the fear which the metaphor might suggest. Blessed be his perfect love. Lord, if thou send me wealth like broad rivers, do not let the galley with oars come up in the shape of worldliness or pride. If thou grant me abundant health and happy spirits, do not let the gallant ship of carnal ease come sailing up the flowing flood. If I have success in holy service, broad as the German Rhine, yet let me never find the galley of self-conceit and self-confidence floating on the waves of my usefulness. Should I be so supremely happy as to enjoy the light of thy countenance year after year, yet let me never despise thy feeble saints, nor allow the vain notion of my own perfection to sail up the broad rivers of my full assurance. Lord, give me that blessing which maketh rich, and neither addeth sorrow nor aideth sin.
Purge our hearts from secret faults, Jason and Corinne.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Although Dr. Cairns has essentially finished his exposition of Hebrews chapter 11, the spirit of that passage carries over into chapter 12. In verses 1 and 2, we see that believers are called to run a race for God. Unlike earthly races, the Christian's strength comes not from within himself, but from Christ. We are to run, as the apostle says, looking unto Jesus. The apostle lists five things about Christ that believers are to look at. The first of these is who he is, the incarnate Son of God, Jehovah, the Savior of sinners. Then we're to consider what Christ is and what he did. He is called the author and finisher of our faith. He committed himself to accomplishing the Father's will, dying on the cross to atone for the sins of his people. Like the Savior, the race for God's people involves the way of the cross. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message called, Jesus, the Supreme Object of Faith.
When you run the race with perseverance, remember to run it looking unto Jesus. Remember what he did. That'll tell you the way of Christ is the way of the cross. What did he say if you would be his disciple? Take up your cross. It was a neo-Orthodox, German neo-Orthodox preacher, at least largely in the neo-Orthodox camp, who spoke about a crossless Christianity and then a Christless Christianity. And without going into his particular meaning of those phrases, I think we have come to see that. You have a Christianity without a cross. Just one big charismatic party. Christianity without a cross. If you're right with God, you'll be healthy and wealthy. Bible never says it. If that were true, then nobody was ever less right with God than Jesus Christ himself, who had nowhere to lay his head, who didn't even have a penny to pay his taxes, whose almost every possession was a borrowed possession. If health and wealth are the mark of being right with God, then Christ and his apostles were the least right with God. Nothing can show the folly of a crossless Christianity more than that. Take up your cross and follow me. The way of faith is the way of the cross, the way of suffering, the way of shame. Notice the devil will always face you with shame. If he can't stop you with suffering, he'll try to stop you through shame. He'll shame you, if he can, into not speaking for Christ. He'll shame you, if he can, into not standing for Christ. He'll shame you, he'll make you feel so shamed, so guilty, so rotten, either about yourself or about your circumstances or whatever, that you do not run with patience the race that's set before you. You've got to despise the shame. Why and how? Looking unto him who did the same. Hebrews 13, he suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him, doing the same thing. Then the fourth thing you look at is how and why he did it. And I put those two things in because the words who for the joy set before him have caused a lot of debate. The word for is literally here the word that means instead of or in exchange for. It's the very important preposition when you're dealing with the atonement that definitively teaches substitutionary atonement. The natural force of the word is instead of, or in place of, or in exchange for. And many people therefore say, and I think they have a great deal of truth on their side, that the Lord Jesus, instead of the joy that was lying presently before him, in his pre-incarnate glory. Instead of that, for the glory of God and the saving of sinners, he endured the cross and despised the shame. People who think that the verb here would be a little forced in that interpretation, but there's nothing that really, I think, settles the argument merely on the verb that's used. There are questions that may be asked. I'm not going to take time to get through them all this morning, but to me the biggest difficulty to that interpretation is the question, did Christ exercise faith before his incarnation? He was omniscient. He saw all things, and sight and faith are not really compatible. But there is nonetheless a great, great truth that we will see has an application in our lives. Because listen to this. Faith is the laying aside of the immediate for the future glory. Faith lays aside even what is good for the eternal glory of God in the salvation of sinners. Look unto Jesus and what he did, and why he did it, and how he did it. He endured the cross, he despised the shame, because he was willing to set aside the glory that was already lying before him to pursue the glory of God in the saving of the lost. That's what you're to do, and that's what I'm to do. The present so often just shuts us in. There's some ways in which Christians live like existentialists. They isolate the moment. They live in this moment. You have this formally expressed in the philosophy of the 20th century. You do your own thing, and you do it now. You live for the moment, for you're not sure of the next. The biblical truth is you're not sure of the next, therefore prepare to meet your God. But the world's way is live this moment, isolate this moment, encapsulate this moment. Live in the light of this moment, divorced from the reality of the past and of the future. That's the great pleasure craze of this present world. And so often Christians fall into the same trap. This moment only exists as part of what philosophers call a continuum. This moment only exists in relation to what has gone before and in relation to what is yet to come. And the man who does not live this moment in the light of what God has done in the past and what God is going to do in the future, that man is a fool. You only live the present in the light of the past, especially in the light of Calvary. You only live the present in the light of the future, in the light of God's eternity. That's how to live the present. Now, if you live that way, faith following Christ will lay aside the immediate gratification, the immediate thrill, the immediate feeling, the immediate gain for the eternal. Faith will even lay aside the things that in themselves are unobjectionable for the greater glory of God in saving souls. Remember what I said a little earlier? If you have 7 pounds of gold in a bag, it will slow you up just as much as 7 pounds of lead. There was no sin in C.T. Studd being left $1 million way back in the last century, when $1 million really meant something. There was no sin in him being left an inheritance of $1 million. But faith in C.T. Studd gave it all away down to the last penny. penny in order that he should pursue the glory of God in the evangelization of a lost world. Did C.T. Studd follow Christ? Did he make the right decision? When we stand before God and there are thousands from China, even millions, and there are thousands, even millions from India, and millions from Africa, the three great scenes of Studd's personal labors, and they stand before God saved through the ministry of that man and the men whom he led to the mission field through his example. Tell me, will there be any doubt that he did the right thing? Faith even sets aside what's good in itself for what is eternally better. But the word for the joy that was set before him, can mean, and many people think must mean here, on account of. It's not the usual word for that. But the idea is that through life and death, he kept the final glory in view. Now that's how you live by faith. Faith endures the afflictions. Faith runs through the pain, looking to the reward and the rewarder. Do you notice what it says? It's the same word, actually, in the original scriptures, just as it's the same word in English. Verse 1, the race is set before us. Verse 2, the joy was set before Christ and also before those who follow him. The promise of glory is true. Faith endures in the light of this truth. And it says with Paul the Apostle in those outstanding words of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. Now the next time you're tempted to gripe, think of those words of Paul. Our light affliction. What is this light affliction? Go back to verse 8. Troubled on every side. Perplexed, persecuted, cast down, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Over in chapter 11, he gives you a little more of this light affliction. Verse 23, in labors, in stripes, in prisons, in deaths, oft. 40 stripes, see of one, 5 times. Beaten with rods, 3 times. Stoned, 3 times. Shipwrecked, a night and the day in the deep. In journeyings, in perils of waters, of robbers, of countrymen, of heathen. In the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, by false brethren. In weariness, in watchings, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings, in cold, in nakedness. Quite a list. Now what do you or I know about that? Come on now, what do we know about it? And yet looking at all that, he says, our light affliction, and then you and I have the audacity to fly in the face of God because some little thing doesn't go the way our selfish minds want it to go. We have the audacity to fly in the face of God and we say, Lord, why are you doing this to me? I can't go any further. I have to confess, many a time myself I have been in my ministry before God and had to cry, Lord, if you don't step in, I can't go any further. And then I have to be ashamed. I haven't gone one millionth of the way the Apostle Paul went. And he said it was just a light affliction. Why did he say that? It's not poetry. It's not poetic license. It's not fiction. It's fact. Why? Our light affliction is but for a moment. And it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things which are seen. That's why it was light. He didn't have his eyes on the things that were seen, but on the things that are not seen. The world doesn't understand anything of that, of course. Looking at the things that are not seen, they tell you you're ready for the lunatic asylum. But I tell you, if you're looking at the things that are seen, you're living in defeat. If you're looking at the things that are not seen, you're living in victory. Looking at the things that are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen, they are eternal.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.